This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh my God. The podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything. We lost it there, but we're good. I'm your host, Zach Nebraska Towers.
I'm Kelsey Dumpster Diving for Donuts Dara.
Wow. I didn't know where you're going with that. It certainly wasn't dumpster diving, but I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Oh, same. I grew up, under.
I did fine.
Are obsessed with hitting buttons that you don't need to.
Don't yell at me.
We used to dumpster dive all the time.
Really?
I'll never forget this summer where, maybe it was like every summer, McDonald's had the Monopoly.
Yes.
And we would dumpster dive looking for people because people wouldn't tear their tickets. And this is in the day and age of like free Big Mac, free McFlurry, free whatever. And so we would like literally find free meals.
Oh, that's actually fun. And I bet you were doing it at an age where that was like a treasure hunt.
Oh, yes. And it was like $10 for like a full meal.
Can we do that can we do this now?
Dumpster dive?
For McDonald's stickers?
I don't know if the stickers still give what they used to give.
They used to give free food.
Yeah.
Can someone comment below?
Yeah, comment.
I was waiting for them to respond. Hi, Zach.
Hi, Kelsey.
So by the time this airs,
we'll be back.
We'll be back for my live show.
Wild.
We're talking from the future.
Yes,
from the past about the future.
The show was amazing. So good. I can't believe
sold out.
Standing room only.
Can you believe New York City? The Gossip Girl wrote about it. She came.
Insane.
Philly. The Eagles were there.
Yes, birds were all over the restaurant.
I was trying to think of any celebrities I know that live in Philly.
It was my first time in Philly, the city of brotherly love.
Yes.
And it was great. Every guy on the street tried to eat my ass.
Can you believe though that they couldn't because you got food poisoning from your first Philly cheesesteak?
Don't say that.
Sorry.
Oh my God. Yeah. And you couldn't eat one either because your yeast infection.
Yeah, that's most likely.
Smelled too much like bread and you got attacked by seagulls.
What are seagulls doing in Philly?
Isn't it a watery, is there water by it?
I'm going to sound real fucking dumb. We already know I don't know where Philly
Damn it.
Is.
Don't Google it.
Anyway, the live shows were amazing. We're going to do them again because they did so well is what we're predicting.
Yeah, we were asked to... We almost did a second show one of the nights.
Yeah.
But we're Philly, we got to go.
Zach.
What?
Listen to me. This is important.
Oh, Philly is very close to the water. Thank God.
Thank God.
Also pretty close to New York, which is where I theorize...
Don't say that like
Philly
you.
Philly also is.
Christ. This is very important. A few weeks ago, you told a story on the podcast.
Oh my God, yes.
About your mom and aunt getting robbed at gunpoint once upon a time. And your aunt
being like, we have more stuff in the apartments.
Yelled that at the robbers.
And they're like, okay.
And they went and robbed your aunt's house.
That did not happen.
Wait, what?
That was fiction. She did suggest it, but my mom was like, and then my mom.
Okay, wait. So this is an addendum to the story. You texted me a few weeks ago and you said, I need to tell you an update to the robbery story. And I wrote it down. I've forgotten about it until just now.
Yes,
so this is an update to the story you told?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I got it wrong.
You lied.
No.
You're a liar.
No.
Got it.
The aunt did say, we have more stuff in my apartment.
Still insane.
It's right up the street. Insane. And my mom, to cover, goes, how about we just walk with you until you find someone else to rob? Is that not the most psychotic thing you've ever heard?
I don't know if that's worse or better than inviting them up into your house.
I think it, I think it might be worse. She really threw whoever was next under the bus.
Society. Imagine the next person they run into is a disabled orphan.
Yeah, she's like, get him.
Go, get him. Yeah. Sick him.
Get him.
Get after him.
Yeah.
I truly didn't know that the update was going to be better than the original story.
I know, Kelsey. My jaw was on the floor.
Also, I love the idea of your mom being like, we'll walk with you until you find someone else to rob. And then they do that. And the person getting robbed is like, it was a guy with a gun and two older white women.
No, this is when they were like in their 20s.
Oh, two teenage white women robbing us.
No, I think they just like ran the other way. Watch, there be another thing I'm getting wrong.
Wait, so we still don't know if did they get robbed?
They got robbed of like the measly amount of money that they had on them
on the street.
Like, we don't have anything. And then my aunt was like, come back to the apartment. My sister's like, no, it's still not worth it to you. How about we walk with you as long as it takes for you to find someone else to rob?
Do you think the robbers were like, yeah, all right, that sounds like a good idea?
I mean, God damn it. Now I wish I knew for sure. But I think they did walk with them for a minute.
I gotta know what was said on that.
Damn
walk.
It!
Sorry,
I know.
We're gonna keep you listeners waiting.
Who knew a 1.5 minute story could turn into a three parter?
All I know is I'm still gonna cut up a TikTok of you telling the original story because it's too good not to.
Is it a good story?
Yes.
Okay.
You need to be telling that on stage.
Oh really,
Zachary?
Okay.
It's the funniest thing you've ever said.
I have. Okay.
It was a lie, but it was funny.
I started comedy 12 years ago.
Oh.
I haven't written a new joke in about 13 years. So
there you go.
That is a challenge I will accept.
Free material.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, mom.
You know what we haven't done in a while?
TikTok
taught me. I have a fun one.
Yay. Hit us.
I might have even breached this before on the podcast, but I don't care. It's so good that I'm telling it again. There's a creator named Kyle Prue, who's hot as hell, straight guy, who does a series on things you can say to men to make them mad.
Ooh, I love this.
It's so funny. So I'm going to read you off some of my favorites.
Okay, hit me.
These are things that TikTok taught me to say to men.
To make them mad.
To make them mad.
Which famously men are not mad enough. So if you can poke any of these beasts.
Let's really give us another reason to fear men.
Yeah.
Say this to a guy with a beard. Have you tried growing a beard? And then if they say, I have a beard, you say, yeah, but like a real one. You say this to a guy after like a shitty guy comes and hits on you. Like, you know, just like a gross, creepy dude. Do you have a humiliation kink?
That would take a dumb guy so long to understand.
He'd be like, oh, well, maybe.
I could.
Is that what you're into? I liked this one. Call a really tall guy average type.
Great. There's a joke I do on stage right now where I talk about dating a guy who's 6'5", and like ask a guy who's tall but not that tall how tall he is, and he's like 6'2", and I'm like 6'2", we love a short king.
Exactly.
It goes over the audience. Ah!
Yeah, like there's nothing a tall guy, I've come across two types of tall guys. One that's embarrassed to be so tall, that's like, yes, I played basketball in high school, yes, I'm tall, this is how tall I am. And another guy who's like so fucking proud. Like walks around with his third leg out.
Sure.
Just like, I'm tall.
Not all tall guys have big dicks.
True.
A guy I hooked up with in college, he was like a master's student and I was like a dumb sophomore, but he had such a small wee wee that I topped him.
I'm hearing a lot of these top stories and I still don't believe them.
Maybe I'm a top.
I wish we had a... Oh wait, we do, don't we?
You would never be able to find it.
There it is. Say this when a guy is talking shit about his ex or like talking shit about a girl in general, say, damn, she sounds really cool. Or you go like, damn, legend. Like,
wow.
I don't know why. Even if it's a guy friend, if he starts talking shit about any kind of woman ever, I'm like, well, don't say that.
Yeah.
I just make him feel bad instantly.
There was a gay guy in the Delta Lounge.
Bragging.
I know. I love being a lounge boy. But he and his partner were sitting next to me. And he was like, he said something horrible along the lines of like, yeah, it was fun. It was kind of annoying because some of the really ugly guys were like trying to like dance with me and my friends. And I'm like,
ew,
you're a bitch.
Ew.
And he's like, no, I didn't mean it like that. I'm like, no, you're like, that's a cunty thing to say.
Was he hot though?
Yeah, he was pretty hot.
That makes it worse because it's like, if you are actually hot and you say that, that means you're a bad person. But if you say that and you're kind of ugly yourself, you're just a Lulu.
Yeah, if he was ugly, I would have had to be like, babe.
No.
You were dancing with your friends.
It was a mirror.
It was
you standing.
Yeah, exactly.
This one's good. Just say this to any man. Are you being mean because it makes you feel important?
That's like, that's along the lines of, what did you hope to achieve by saying that?
Yeah. Out loud. These are my two absolute favorites.
Okay.
They're a little niche, but I love it.
Right.
This is something you say to a guy, whoever you're talking to, if he tells you he's a cop. You say, at a mall? Just give them the once over, up and down.
At like a carnival?
Yeah, like a security guard at a mall?
I see. I'm not trying to get shot today.
Yeah, no, that's ballsy. You got to be a white woman to say that. And this is my absolute favorite, is when you know a guy is either like catcalling you or is coming up to you to like spit some game and you're absolutely fucking not interested, or you have your headphones on and they're still not getting the hint. You take your headphone off and you say, sorry, I don't have any change.
Yep, that's that's brilliant.
My favorite.
That's brilliant. Sorry, I don't have any change.
Even I'm going to do that just if anyone approaches me, just to see how they react as a social experiment.
Or you should be like, I think I have a dollar here. Hold on. And literally give them a dollar.
I think it works, especially if you're wearing headphones, because that is just a common society rule. We just don't bother women that have headphones on.
Or anyone.
Or any, but especially women.
But it, especially me too.
Okay, fine. You're included
People
in that.
People talk to me when I have headphones and I'm like, when you,
your life is so hard.
I don't want to.
Do you ever entertain people that are hitting on you that you would never ever date or go out with?
Yes.
Why?
Because sometimes I think it takes a lot of bravery to hit on someone.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant you were being brave by talking to them.
I walk through the fear of receiving compliments from a stranger. No, I like, I'll shut it down or I'll let them know I'm not interested, but like, hats off to, and this is interesting because I don't think gay guys are going up to other gay guys willy-nilly hitting on them.
Oh.
I think we are much more timid about it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, because you don't ever want that confusion of like, are they trying to be my friend or are they trying to fuck me?
I don't know what it is, honestly. Or maybe I'm completely wrong and guys are getting hit on left and right.
This is you trying to justify not getting hit on.
No, I mean like, and I don't really.
Me neither. I don't. No, I don't. Really? I really don't. Like, I wish it was more. And people tell me, they'll be like, it's because you're so intimidating. I'm like, my imposter syndrome says it's because I'm ugly.
Oh my God, you're not ugly.
I'm the Lulu.
I would tell you if you were ugly.
That's something a person who wouldn't tell someone that would say to somebody.
You were the farthest thing from ugly.
Well.
Okay, the second farthest thing from ugly.
I was going to say maybe top 2 million. You know, if we're talking about general pop
in like the top, if there's a top 1% who has all the money, oh, you're like in the top 2%.
Okay. That, and now I'm just fishing. I feel like I also recommend, like, even if someone you would never in a million trillion years hits on you, it's good practice.
Yeah.
Like, it's good social anxiety practice. It's good. Like, I think if someone approaches you that you're not interested in, we immediately kind of like, ugh. We were like, how do we get rid of this so fast? But I think it's okay to actually practice. This is going to sound so privileged. It's good to practice rejection.
Sure.
Because it can be a
rejecting
kind,
other people.
Yeah. Like, it
that's
can,
a fucked up thing yeah. to say.
But like, you know what I mean? Like letting someone down gently, like being kind about it. Cause I think as a woman, my instinct whenever, like, I'll never forget a guy. I was being nice to him. I wasn't interested. I was waiting for an Uber. He was waiting for an Uber outside this bar. And mm-hmm. he was like, can I have your number? And I said, oh no, thanks. And he was like, well, why not? I was like, oh, cause I don't want to. And he's like, yeah, but why? I was like, oh, I'm just not interested. And then he's like, well, that, like, he
how
was,
how would you know you're not interested?
Perplexed. And I was like, I just don't want to give you my number.
It, guys, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
When you get the no, take the L.
The hottest thing a guy could do is if he gets rejected. Like, if you ask for my number and I'm like, no, thank you. The hottest fucking thing ever a guy could do is say, thank you for respecting your boundaries. Thank you for taking care of yourself.
Oh, wow. That's
that's hot.
And then do you chase him down the street?
I'm like, you know what? Actually, fuck my boundaries. Yeah, you're like, that would get, that might actually get me to change my mind.
You know what? Okay, so people, a couple of people have done this to me recently and I don't like it. And mm-hmm. I haven't quite navigated it.
Mm-hmm.
When they go, talk. Here, what's your Instagram? Let's follow each other. I hate it.
I haven't gotten let's follow each other, but I have had guys ask me for my Instagram now, which I do like that they think that that is like safer. Because,
oh yeah, I'll give my Instagram out willy-nilly. I'm saying these people in a society, a societal pressure sort of way, like put me in a situation where I have no reason to be like
following you.
Yeah.
I had a guy do that on a plane once and I was like, oh, the service is bad. And he's like, oh, you can do it on your computer. Because he saw I had bought internet.
That's insane.
Yeah. And guess what? Never talked to him in my life.
Sure. I often, like, if it's happened that they do get me to follow them, because it's like, this happened to me at the beginning of the cruise, like day one, and they were kind of connected to the entertainer group. So I was like, fuck, I can't, like, we're sitting here. I'm not doing anything. Like, there's no reason. And I just unfollowed them like 2 days later.
Nice. While you were still on the cruise. Yeah. That's ballsy. Because now that's the type of person that'll come up to you and say, hey, why'd you unfollow me?
Yeah. I go, I don't want to follow you.
My biggest fear is that I have no idea who I'm following. I generally never look at it. I don't think about it. I'm afraid I'm following like a fucking red pill or some shit. Or like probably. Someone that's been canceled. And
statistically, you should go through and do a purge.
That, I don't want to.
Really?
That sounds so boring to my life.
Really?
Waste of time.
Oh, chaos. I forgot.
Chaos.
I love chaos.
But I have had fans DM me being like, why are you still following blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot he like ate the bones of a person. Whoops, forgot to unfollow.
Well, what was the person doing with the bones? Nothing.
It was Armie Hammer, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah, but I feel like that was weird when people were like DMing me, reminding me to unfollow someone. I was like, ah, thanks, but also shut up.
Yeah, shut. How much time do you have?
I don't fuck. Why are you looking at the people I follow? That's so weird. Now everyone's going to go.
They just look at mutuals. Yeah.
I mean, but now if you're going to do that for me, do let me know if I'm doing anything problematic. Do let me know. This is an invitation.
I love going through and like unfollowing people. I'm like, who is this even?
Oh, has that been happening to you a lot lately on your IG? It's been shaking up my algorithm where it's showing me stories of people that I didn't even realize I was following. I'm like, who is this?
I don't watch stories a ton.
Do you scroll through pictures?
Not really. I like check my notifications and I scroll through the main feed.
Dude, I stay watching stories.
Really?
It's like free entertainment, free TV.
Maybe I should start.
Try and influence me, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But that's not, this episode isn't about us feeling confident as we so clearly feel this part of the podcast.
It's about us feeling insecure.
It's about us feeling confidently insecure, aka pasty syndrome. Pasta, you hungry? Olive Garden. We'll be right back after this. The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced
50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can like, I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know, I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech. And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
Oh, was that chaos for
that
you?
That was so crazy. And you locked eyes with me, too.
It You're like,
pass the house. We'll be right back after this.
I got hungry. I'm sorry. This week we are talking about imposter syndrome. And as I was doing the research on this, I was like, have I done an episode on imposter syndrome
Probably.
Before we linked up? And my answer is, that's how deep this imposter syndrome goes, is that I haven't fixed it. I haven't changed.
I bet you've gotten better.
I'd like to think I've grown as a person, but
you must have. You move through the world with such confidence.
Oh, thank you.
From my perspective.
See, it would just hurt for me to accept that as a compliment because I don't believe it to be true because of my imposter syndrome. Anyway.
Whatever brings you joy, Kelsey.
Imposter syndrome is a psychological phenomenon where individuals doubt their achievements, feel like frauds, and fear. This is the big one for me. It's the fear of being exposed as an incompetent, despite evidence of their confidence. So I have this anxious, constant fear of being exposed as like not really having like the numbers or data to back up what I'm saying or selling or pitching or like with documentaries. Like I don't actually know what I'm talking about, even though I just made a fucking documentary about it. Like I am just afraid. And I think it probably has to do with living through cancel culture. Like you remember a time before cancel culture existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, that was crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on about my life.
Yep.
But now there's like, does that resonate with you with imposter syndrome?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mine is do you have like a definition that you're going to give of it?
That was it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It was psychological phenomenon.
It was so thorough and good. I have it all the time. I have it with promoting my live shows because I'm like, why should people come see me do like dick jokes? Like, am I even that funny?
The world needs more dick jokes.
I agree. And then literally as recent as this past Thursday or two Thursdays
ago.
Yeah,
tell us.
I did my first live version of After Hours, my sex podcast.
Yes.
And there was like a production.
On Netflix Radio, by the way, which just go to
That's
show you.
That's so funny too.
No imposter syndrome.
It's on SiriusXM on Netflix Radio. This like production company had like 12 people running around setting up a 3-camera setup and
producers, props,
all these things, sound cues. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I'm not
deserving of this.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not meant. This is crazy.
Wow.
But like, I have to just be like, no, it's real, but it's so hard.
Yeah. You're also too like, you've been doing this for so long, but I, even just as your friend, have seen you grow exponentially in terms of like opening for bigger theaters, touring with bigger comics. Like you're also like, you haven't peaked yet.
Yeah.
Which is the crazy part is like, I feel like I've peaked with living through the BuzzFeed time. Like I was a part of this golden era of something where like I would go anywhere and probably get recognized. And I think when I became friends with you about that time was when it was happening less and less.
Sure.
And like now I can go through the airport without getting recognized. I can go through to Disney World. It doesn't matter. And like, there was something about like just recognizing that I had lived through something and now maybe anything I do now isn't as important.
Interesting. Right? Well, that's a real thunderstorm of like of circumstances, because it was like you were younger, mm-hmm. you were newer,
prettier.
Just like all the things. It was yeah. your first big thing.
Yes. It felt big. And so I have a different form of imposter syndrome that like maybe I have peaked. And I think yours is like you don't feel deserving yet of the success that you so clearly deserve.
That's sweet and interesting. I also do things where with compare and despair with Taylor Tomlinson, a good friend, just turned 30, is about to film her third hour special for Netflix and is a host of a late night show. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm 38.
But it doesn't give you solace to be like, this person has picked me to like,
oh yeah,
travel and open for her. And like,
totally. And yeah. it does. But you still can't help.
Yeah. But
it's just like, I think about it.
You still have to do step one first, which is compare and despair.
Yeah. I'm like, why haven't I done an album? I must not have much to say. Like I must not be.
Which is so crazy. But I also wonder if this happens in other industries, like in a different way, right? Like our industry is made for rejection, for getting you to quit, for not succeeding. And so like a part of me wonders if, not that other people don't get it in their jobs, of course we all do, but to a different degree. Like maybe it only happens once a year for them during their big pitch project or their big promotion or their yearly review or something. But like, I think we feel it on a daily basis.
Because we're like, I thought this was good, but no one engaged. Like I thought this was great, but they said no.
And like the data we have to go up against now too, where it's like you can publicly see numbers, you know what people make per following, per virality. Like you have these standards of
metrics,
yourself that are just so like, do you remember when getting 1,000 views was a huge deal? It was like, oh my God. What?
I have this too now with like, I used to need a post on Instagram to get 100 likes.
Wow.
And now I'm like, if it does not break 1,000 quickly,
I'm trashing
it. I'm trash.
And that's where it goes. Like, that's what this article talks about with imposter syndrome, that like when you have it, no matter how successful you get, it doesn't go away. The problems just become different.
It morphs.
It just morphs. And so it's about like biting it. So obviously we'll get there to talk about it, but I found some interesting statistics that for millennials, that we are often more prone to imposter syndrome due to factors like increased academic pressure, heightened competition in the job market, and the constant comparison of culture amplified by social media. So, and this is going to sound like kind of silly to say it, but like imagine in our parents' era, right? Women weren't really expected to succeed much. They were like, you stay at home, you take care of the kids, you got food on the table, done.
Good woman.
Men go to war. They bring home the bacon. Like they're, but also like they were promised the world, especially white men, Caucasian dudes were like, the world is your oyster. Wolf of Wall Street. Get out there, take names and fucking build your empire. And now it's like, I think we have more empathy. We have also a lot more visibility into other people's lives. Like it almost wasn't our fault.
Yeah, nothing's our fault.
Yeah, that's the millennial.
We're millennials.
Millennial pause.
Avocados.
Not to like further myself even more into that, but the gender aspect of imposter syndrome is more with women.
Deeply female.
Yeah, they tend to experience imposter syndrome more frequently than men, and cultural norms and societal expectations can contribute to this, with women often facing higher scrutiny and self-doubt in professional settings. And there's like hundreds of studies on this in the actual workforce.
For sure.
About like the pay gap, right? Like why do we offer women less money for the same job
still
a man does? Yeah. So it's like imposter syndrome almost is a little gaslighty.
Yeah.
Because it also is like, real.
No. Like, I'm not as good as I think I am.
Because, like, literally, you guys pay me less.
Not funny, but sad.
Yeah. And true. Notable figures like Maya Angelou, Emma Watson, and Tina Fey have publicly admitted to grappling with imposter syndrome despite They're remarkable successes.
Wild. Tina Fey.
Which just goes to show you that, like, imposter syndrome also doesn't discriminate. Like, no matter how successful
Wait,
you are.
Are all three of those people in the arts? What were the three names?
Maya Angelou.
Tina Fey.
Emma Watson. Crazy. Wow.
So I think it is kind of like a heavily artist thing.
And again, like I said, I think that's the nature of our industry.
Sure. You have to really believe in yourself.
Duh. DeLulu,
and you have to detach from the like count or the view count.
Also, it has obviously an impact on mental health. It can lead to increased levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. And there was a study done that found that around 70% of people in general in this world experience imposter syndrome at some point in their lives.
Wow.
What's up with that 30%?
But okay, you've met the 30% and they're fucking eerie and annoying. Because I'm like, where are you getting this confidence from?
True, they're delusional.
Oh my God. Yeah. I think of an open mic where it's like all people just confidently saying these horrible takes on everything. And I'm like,
you think people want to listen to this, huh?
Yeah, and like, how did it take me so much energy to come do this? And you were just like chomping at the bit.
That's literally where the other 30% are at.
Open mics.
So yeah, we know that it's not great, but we all experience it. We just talked about it in our personal lives. So there has to be strategies for overcoming imposter syndrome, right? So some of the obvious ideas, but like we hear it but don't necessarily ever like take time to actually do it, is practicing self-compassion. So for me, what does that look like? I literally have on the other side of this pillow, you can't see it, I have a thing called a dope jar, which is I write down anytime something dope happens in my life, no matter how big or small, fold it up, put it in there. And whenever I'm having a day, one of those fucking imposter syndrome days, I go in there.
Those?
Yeah. And yesterday, like, I was feeling a type of way and the athlete was like, ooh, pull one of these. And it said, I'm on a motherfucking TV show, bitch. And I forgot that, like, all the time.
Crazy.
We were on 2 seasons of a television show together. Little me would not even believe.
Yeah. It's wild.
So obviously, practicing self-compassion too, like knowing that you are often up against a society that's not rooting for your equality, especially if you're queer, especially if you're a POC, especially if you're not of wealth or generational success.
I have the opposite of that jar. I have a God box and it's what? Don't laugh at my God.
What is a God box?
You write down things that you'd like to give to God to take care of.
See, my God box is just, it has cocaine in it.
Nice.
Yeah, I take it and I become like God.
There's also a lot of solutions than cocaine.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Another way to overcome imposter syndrome, which is not something I thought about, but I love this idea, is to get a mentor. Like having a mentor, like someone you genuinely look up to, tell you like, you're crushing it, you're on the right track, or even is that's just taking time out of their crazy life to help you, means something.
It's validating.
Like they wouldn't be wasting their time and saying, yes, okay, I'll mentor you, if they thought you were useless.
Right. You're anchored to reality in that way.
Exactly. Another one is obviously set achievable goals. So I think in our generation, we often are like, practice manifesting.
You like, can have anything.
Visualize. And sometimes that's just necessary for some seasons, not maybe the way for all.
But detrimental when like things don't happen or?
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend who believes like manifesting is actually very like victim blamey in a way, where it's like, you manifested this life. Like the problems you faced, the inequality,
Yeah, that's not quite true.
Things that happen to you.
I do think that a lot of your life is a summation of your decisions.
Oh, well, isn't that life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like manifesting to me is part of that, where it's like, I accept like this is my life.
Yeah.
And like when you're manifesting, you also have to be like acting as if you are the thing that you are manifesting. That,
yeah. Like,
so that's where decisions start to come into play.
Yeah. And there's also the, I lost my place. The idea on setting achievable goals is mm-hmm. also trying to learn, to focus on learning rather than perfection. So shifting the mindset from seeking perfection to valuing being someone who genuinely loves to learn and
I
grow.
I take that as the ever ongoing thing that I'm trying to do is just be in love with the process.
Yes.
As a creator.
Yes.
Not the outcome.
And that's like, that's so great at setting it in the present, because if we're staying achieve like goal based achievements, like if that's all we're measuring our life to, you're never going to have it.
No.
You're never going to find success within yourself. You're never going to have that happiness.
It's just like, if you're a writer, this is in a book or something. It's like the day you finish one story, you should start writing the next story.
Yes.
Don't like dawdle in the like, wow, I did it. Like, yeah. Finally, now it's like, you know, it's like, cause that's not where it is.
And that's when you also like end it too. If you feel like, well, I did the one thing I set out to do. I also like the idea of falling in love with being a beginner at something, because how often do you get to actually just be an absolute not like new, totally beginner at something?
I've heard you should stay at the beginner's table.
Ah.
Yeah. So like be around people who are also, who are beginners and like see how, cause okay, it's like that thing where someone who's like really good at guitar might start getting imposter syndrome, but like someone who's just learning is like boldly bad.
Yeah.
You know, like they just like go for it because they, of course they do. Like,
yeah.
Then when you mess up, when you're better, you feel bad about yourself. You're like, no, just like
be a
bad.
Beginner.
Yeah.
I have a cute anecdote, and this was something I liked that the athlete pointed out in me. He planned a cute little date for us where he went and did pottery for the first time, like spinning it, yawning right in my face.
Well, it's heterosexual late. Love.
Ah! Be careful with that, throwing that word around.
Heterosexual?
Yeah. so we were in a class and there was like 10 people. And have you ever done pottery? Like
no,
on a
my
spinning
sister does.
Wheel? On like a,
it's
on
hard.
A, dog, it's hard. And they walk you, you're watching this chick do it, show you example, and you're like, all right, I know how to make a fucking circle. I'm gonna be okay.
And then
this.
You're like, oh shit.
When I tell you, this woman, the first thing she says is she's like, you pat the clay and then you throw it as hard as you can down onto the wheel. And I threw it so hard that like the teacher went like, whoa. That one, like, geez, my shit splatted, like almost went completely leveled.
You made a plate.
Yeah. And then I was trying to push it together and everyone's starting their wheels and everyone's starting to get their shape and shit. And the athlete looks over at me and he's like, I looked over at you and I have never seen you look so frustrated and defeated. Like you were like, and he's like, I started to get like worried that you were going to be like, fuck this. This is stupid. Da, 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 da. And he's like, but then you like, where you looked so joyous, like you looked so silly and you were like, what is, why does this fucking shit, what is wrong with mine? Like, why can't I get this? And like, he's like, I love that part about you being just like, I don't know.
No,
I can't do this. Like I felt like I owned it, you know, like I owned the imposter syndrome. And that was like another thing I remember hearing in taking acting classes was like, when you go into auditions, we go in naturally just like fear based of like, oh my God, go in like they are desperately hoping you're the one.
They want you to be it.
You're doing a show for them and they are lucky to see it and they desperately want you to be the one.
Because we do go in thinking it's them against us.
Yes. And so like just these little mindset shifts I've learned to be like, so, okay, how can we apply this to our own lives? How can we actually apply this to our own lives with, obviously, Zach and I are feeling big imposter syndrome with our live show that already happened.
Yes, and was so good.
Hasn't actually happened yet. And we're feeling like a little bit of impostery syndrome with the amount of tickets we haven't been able to sell. So for me, like my first thing is like the fact that we were even asked to do a tour at all. Incredible.
Yeah.
The fact that we even have a podcast that people listen to.
Yeah.
How lucky are we?
So lucky.
Also, there are outside factors that we didn't have control over, like the price, the theater
the venue,
size.
Yeah. Which, yeah, feels like it's it, like, not to shift blame, like, that's not on us.
That's not our fault.
It was the contract we were offered.
Yeah. And we're not going to say no.
Yeah, we didn't know.
And it's a learning experience. Like,
I agree.
Instead of going like, fuck, we can't do this again. We can't sell out a 300 something person theater. I go, next time we're going to do 100 people theater.
Yeah. And it'll be half as much money.
Yep.
But we'll make it worth it. Maybe we'll do 3 cities back to back.
Yeah. So you know what? I think we did good there.
I think we did great.
I think we're healed from our imposter syndrome.
I feel better.
What do you have imposter syndrome about? Leave a comment below and also tell us what helps you get over that imposter syndrome. Guys.
That's fucking it.
I don't have anything to promote now that we've done our live show. Do you have anything?
I have another live version of After Hours.
Yes.
March 5th yes. at the Hollywood Improv Lab. And then May 2nd at Dynasty Typewriter.
Ooh, I'm going to that one.
Yes, I am so excited.
That's it for this week, Confidants. Rate us. That'll help our imposter syndrome.
Yeah, rate and leave a review, but only if you're going to give it 5 stars.
Because if you're not going to give it 5 stars, don't rate it at all because we are sensitive. And until next week, Confidants, fucking go out there.
Yeah, fucking go out there.
Go out there and fucking wave your dick around.
Yes.
Have the confidence of a straight white guy.
Yes.
Bye.